Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. I don't know how much the children still sing the song, but I know it was a very popular song when I was growing up. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Do we all know the story about Zacchaeus? It's quite the story, isn't it? You know, good enough of a story for somebody to make a children's song or chorus about it. What a good little story to sing about. Climbing up that sycamore tree. If we could only get a glimpse of the reality of the hunger of his heart and make sure that the hunger of our heart matches the hunger of his heart. Go through the press, go through the crowd to find a place that he could get to just simply to see Christ. Reminds me of a statement that I've heard the Stetlers say a few times, Dan Stetler as well as Daryl Stetler, that if we make a move in God's direction, he moves in our direction. If we take one step his direction, he takes two our direction. I think that that's pretty much shown in this particular story. Zacchaeus wanting to get to where he could see Christ. And then Jesus apparently, purposefully, went that way. It doesn't quite say it exactly that way, but he apparently was going that way deliberately because he knew that Zacchaeus was going to be in that tree. Zacchaeus was going to be looking for him. And Jesus made an appointment to reach out to Zacchaeus. You say, why would you look at this story this morning? We are familiar with it. We've read it a time or two. Probably have heard about it in Sunday school and heard about it in children's service. May have heard somebody else preach about it. But there's something that I want us to notice, and it's really summed up in the story itself, but it can be found very, very much in the last two verses of the story, in verse 9 and 10. And that is the mission. Now, at the end of the story, we find that Zacchaeus is saved. At the beginning of the story, we understand that Zacchaeus is unsaved or lost. But we notice that there is a mission that is involved with the story. The mission of Christ. He tells us what his mission is here in this passage. He said, "For the Son of Man is come." That's telling us that he came on a mission. He came to do a job. He came to perform some kind of an action or a deed. He had a mission. He had a reason. There was something about his heart that produced the mission, that produced all that was necessary for the mission. And there's three things that I want us to notice about this mission. The first one is that there was a propulsion for the mission. There was a purpose for the mission. And that there was power in the mission. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come." Now, if we look at the first one that I mentioned this morning, the propulsion of the mission, that really is just simply saying that there was a driving force behind him coming. There was some reason, there was a driving force. What is the driving force of your life? What is it that makes you do what you do? Anybody anywhere has something that drives them to do what they do. There's a reason behind it. It's not just done out of happenstance. There's a push. There is a reason behind doing what we do. Now, there's a number of things that could be that driving force. There's a number of things that could be the factor to push us to do what we do in our lives. There's a driving force. There's a propulsion of this particular mission that Jesus Christ came on. One thing that drives people. One thing that forces people to do what they do is that of pride. You know, it may be carnal pride, or it just might be a sense of accomplishment or the need to do something well. And that may not be in and of itself a bad thing, but a pride can push somebody to do something. Now, the worst kind of pride would be that of carnal pride. And the depiction of the worst of that kind of pride would be that man would say that they want to, or he, she wants to, ascend to the level of God and be like God, that they want to be God themselves. Well, that would be the extent of, or the grossest of pride that would be driving somebody to do something. Now, you probably say, well, that's not even relevant to us here this morning. But you see, pride is anywhere below that as well. The driving force could be that of pride. There's another thing that we go to on the opposite extreme, I suppose we would say, and that would be that humility would drive somebody to do something, or cause somebody to do something, or push somebody to do something. The driving force, or the factor, the propulsion of their life would be that of humility. The greatest expression of humility could be none other than God becoming man. That would be the greatest expression of humility. Here's God with all of His holiness and with all of His wealth and all of His power and everything that is at His fingertips, and yet He decides He wants to become man. He never had to suffer, never had to experience want, never had to experience cold, never had to experience any kind of a serious problem. But He wanted to become man that was full of problems. Job said that the life of man is full of problems, and it's short-lived in the essence of eternity, and it's full of difficulties and full of problems. And Jesus, God, wanted to become man. The greatest statement of humility would be that of God becoming man. Driving factors or propulsions of you and I, the things that would push us, could be pride, it could be humility. There's a third thing that could make somebody to do what they do, and that would be love. Oh, there's a host of other things perhaps we could squeeze into this, but love would be another issue that would cause somebody to do what they do. I think if you look at it close enough here, you probably don't have to spend a whole lot of time looking, but you will find that love is the propulsion of the mission that Jesus came for or to do. It was because of love. Oh, we would say that yes, it was His sense of humility. It was that humble spirit that made Him become like man or become man. But we find that all in all, that it was love that was His propulsion. It was His love that drove Him. And we find that in this particular story because what we see here is Zacchaeus. And in the story of Zacchaeus, we have a picture. We have a picture of the unloved of society. The unloved of society. Who would ever want to go and help a man like Zacchaeus? Who would ever want to reach out and befriend a person like Zacchaeus? You see, he had some issues that people didn't like. Have you ever met somebody like that? There was somebody that was not easily loved, that was not easily liked, that was not easy to be around. There's all sorts of scenarios that fall into this particular category of the unloved of society. Sometimes that they may be somebody who is clean or somebody who is dirty. That particular person that is unloved by society could be somebody who is smart, or on the other hand, maybe somebody that is dumb. Could be somebody that is gifted, or somebody that is challenged. There's two different extremes of the story, and we find that Zacchaeus perhaps was one of the ones that was clean, and he was one of the ones that was smart, and he was one of the ones that was gifted, but in the midst of all of those three things, he was still unloved, he was still unliked, he was undesired. Sure, it was because of the choices that he made and the direction that he went and the things that he did that made him into that particular category and placed him in that situation. But it was still Zacchaeus was the unloved of society. But Jesus, through the love of his heart, made a point to go to where he was. Now, there's plenty of other stories in Scripture that would give us the other side of it, the dirty, the dumb, the challenged. But we're looking at Zacchaeus this morning. We're looking and focusing on him today. And this story. But it's still the same. The picture doesn't matter if it's the upside of the unloved or the downside of the unloved. It's still the same picture. And the propulsion of his mission was love of man. He, Jesus Christ, loved mankind. The mission. Love pushed him and drove him to do, had him do, was the driving force to fulfill the mission. Then we look at the purpose of the mission, which it's pretty self-explanatory. Jesus said, I am come, or the Son of Man is come, to seek and to save that which is lost. Seek and to save that which is lost. Now, the dictionary would tell us that the word lost would be defined this way, unable to find one's way. Unable to find one's way. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been in a position where you did not know which way to go? Now, if you asked Jonathan, he would tell you that I've been lost before, and I needed him to help me to get out. He would tell you that. And I would have to agree, at least in part, because he had a better sense of direction, and it would have taken me longer to get out if it hadn't been for him. But lost means cannot get out. I don't know that I've ever been there. I don't think I've ever been that bad. Have you ever been to that point that you had to have somebody else get you out? Now, it might explain something that I say that I've never been there. It's because some people know that they're lost, some people don't know that they're lost, and some people refuse to admit that they're lost. That's the way it is spiritually. Some know it. Some of them don't know it. But some refuse to admit it. Jesus, the purpose of his mission was to seek and to save the lost. I saw a video this week, a news clipping. One person said that it was from an earthquake, and another one said that it was from a war zone. I don't know which one. I didn't really look into it to see which one was accurate as to what came from, but maybe some of you saw it. The rescue workers that were digging into that rubble for that little child. You know, did they hear the cry of the child through the rubble? They were scratching around, looking, trying to locate where this was at, and began to dig. And finally, they pinpointed perhaps where the sound was coming from, and they began to move chunks of concrete and little specks of concrete and rocks and gravel and dust, and they began frantically working to save this little child. They couldn't see the child. They didn't know who it was, didn't know what the color of the child was, didn't know what the mental capacity of the child was, didn't know who the parents of the child were. They just saw or heard or realized that there was somebody down below the surface. Things that I noticed as I was watching that little news clipping was that there were a host of people. I don't know, I didn't count how many men there were around that circle that were trying their best to dig in the midst of that rubble. Raw gravel and dust and dirt and stones and rocks, and they were using their bare hands. Have you ever dug in the gravel? I mean, frantically dug in the midst of hard-packed gravel and dusty stuff to dig into it with your bare hands. I don't know how long it would take before your fingers would be raw. My point in this little story that I was getting out of that news clipping was that all of these people valued the life of that one unknown to the point that they extended themselves and they presented themselves and they did what they had to do. And they had, at the end of the day, it had to have been that their hands were sore and bleeding and very painful when they washed all that debris away. That's what I can imagine. But the value of that one person was so great that they went to that extreme. Not just one person for one, but there was a handful of 5, 6, 7 people that were working together in order to get that one individual. Are you getting the picture of what I'm trying to paint with that little scenario? The value of an individual. There's the propulsion of the mission. There's the purpose of the mission. What is the purpose of our mission? Jesus' purpose is to seek and to save the lost. Oh, for 1,000 tongues. Oh, for 1,000 hands. Oh, for whatever. Some know it, some don't know it, some to refuse to admit it. The purpose of the mission was to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus, knowing that Zacchaeus was who he was, knowing that he was the unloved of society, made an appointment with himself and said, I will go down this road from Jericho, and then that particular sycamore tree will be an unloved of society, and I will stop at the base of that tree and look up into that tree, point my finger into his face and say, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to your house today. Apparently the children do still sing that song. What a story, really. What a real good story to tell us about the mission of Jesus Christ. We could end right there, couldn't we? There's enough in that particular portion to already begin to speak to our heart and to help us and perhaps ignite a bigger flame, or just simply to ignite a flame within our heart to begin to do something more, or to continue to do something for Jesus Christ, to allow our voice to be heard, to allow our hands to be used and our feet to be used, to be involved with the mission and allow the love of Jesus Christ to be the driving force or the propulsion of the mission, and the purpose is to reach those that are lost. That could be enough there for us to realize that we fall into this mission as well. But then we find that there is the power of the mission. Because you see, it's the power that would give the encouragement that is needed to realize that there is a reason for the mission to begin with. The power of the mission is that this day salvation is come to this house. Can you imagine being there and realizing that all that this had transpired here, all that had involved with Zacchaeus in his life, and perhaps we could paint Zacchaeus as a man with longing. He had a hunger within. And we could use that as a crutch and say, well, I don't know anybody that's longing. Maybe that's where we should be spending more time asking God to lead us to those people. To direct us to that individual. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're not sensitive enough, or we're too busy with what we're doing, and we don't really see. We can't look into their lives. We don't see it when we quickly glance into their eyes to see that there's a trouble that is back there. There's a trouble that is inside. There's a storm that is brewing, or there's a hunger that is trying to be expressed. We don't see it. We glance over it. We pass by it. Lord, help me to find the sycamore tree. Lord, help me to realize the individual that is in need today or tomorrow or each day. Because there's power in the mission. There's a power that changed the life of Zacchaeus. Not only the life of Zacchaeus, but we find that his house was included. Now, how does that work? What does that mean? It means, as salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus, it means that the eternal destiny of his family was forever changed. It means that because one person was brought into the fold, that the rest of the people and their destiny, their lives, their future was changed. There's power in the mission through the blood of Jesus Christ to change lives. The songwriter said, oh, what change grace has wrought in my lowly station. I suppose Zacchaeus could have written that. Oh, he was wealthy though, but he was low in so many people's lives and minds, standard, despicable. The mission. This day is salvation come to this house. I am come to seek and to save the lost. Love was the driving factor. Wanted to reach those that were in need, those that were empty, those that were hungry, those that were needy. Are you involved with the mission? When I was growing up, if somebody talked about the mission, I had one of two thoughts. I either thought about the mission field, or I thought about the little inner city mission. You know, those little places that are just a hole in the wall somewhere that really don't have a whole lot of meaning. You know, those places that the preacher's just there to preach on Sunday and it may only be his family that he's preaching to. They're really irrelevant. You ever been to a mission? Sometimes we may feel that that's our mission, that it's irrelevant. But God's mission is never irrelevant. God's work is never irrelevant. It may appear that the preacher is only preaching to his family, but he is standing in the gap in the place that God has called him. Are you standing in the gap? Am I standing in the gap where God has called me? Am I doing what I am supposed to do so that I can be at the base of the sycamore tree when Zacchaeus climbs it? I'm talking about the despicable of society, the unloved of society, the lower end of society, the people that nobody else likes, that need somebody, that are hungering for something, looking for someone. power of the mission is that they can, their lives can be changed. A new creature in Christ. I keep thinking about the stories that we heard at IH Convention of those lives that were changed, and how people were able to go back and pinpoint circumstances and people and time where somebody took that time and made that effort to go out of their way sometimes to talk to somebody and to meet with somebody. And that person that they touched that day, their life was forever changed. Thinking specifically of Don Davison, of the man that went around in his car, shut down his business, and went driving around the community in his car asking for God to show him somebody that needed to be brought to Christ, somebody that he could invite to church. And he saw his parents, Don Davison's parents, before Don Davison was ever born, and invited them to church. And Don and his siblings, their lives were forever changed because of that one deed. It cost him. But you see, there's power in the mission. Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, the power of the gospel, the expression from our lips, the expression of our lives can touch somebody, but we're going to have to express it. We're going to have to be there to meet the need. Pray that God would help me, help you, to find the sycamore that holds the Zacchaeus. Are you in the mission? Not an irrelevant one. You see, that was my childhood thought. That was a thought of my own thinking as a child, because I couldn't understand why the preacher would go to the mission Sunday after Sunday with the only the prospects or the reality that his own family would be the only ones there. I couldn't imagine that. But to touch one life changes the value of the whole picture. And that's what Jesus did in this story. He went to change or to touch one individual. It was his mission. Love drove him, or was the propulsion of the mission. The purpose was to seek those out and to save them. The gospel has power to save and to change for time and eternity. Let's stand together this morning.